Yep. Welcome to the Shaw's Law Podcast. You know who I am and what I do. I'm your host, Rob Shaw, a.k.a. the Pod God, a.k.a. Harry Potter. Today, solo pod, taking some mailbag questions. Gonna talk NBA, but like, y'all know the vibes. You know the vibrations with me. So let's just get to it. Woo, LaMelo Ball is flaming things. Like, if there is something, if you have a snowball, don't dap LaMelo up. He will melt it. He's cooked Lonzo, almost put a trip dub on Lonzo's head off the bench. But that was cool. Next night he said, nah, I'm not almost trip dub man. I'm trip dub man. So kicked in, who's back for the triple-double? Kicked in the Hawks back for the triple-double. And while we're on the subject of the Hornets, who stole Devontae Graham's fucking superpowers? And when are they coming back? Like, what happened to my guy? Last night he was 1 of 6, 1 of 5 from the field, or 1 of 5 from 3 in 32 minutes. He just has not been bringing it. His season high is 17, and that was versus the Pelicans 2 nights ago. But like, there's some real poopers in here from the guy that was second and most improved player last year. There's a 3, there's a 5, there's this 9, there's another 9. Like, there's just, and I guess the real issue is that it's been the clip that's been gone. 2 of 9 from 3. 3 of 7 is healthy. 3 of 9, 33%. 2 of 5, cool. 1 of 6, 1 of 6. 5 of 11, kind of got his mojo there a little bit. Oh, no, mojo gone. 2 of 9, 2 of 8, 1 of 5. Like, Devontae Graham, dudes is rooting for you. Find the confidence. And I wonder, is some of this, well, they drafted a point guard. I thought I was the man here. I was already sharing the court with Scary Terry. Now they brought in a point guard who has all this hype. Like, we're talking about LaMelo Ball here. That dude has more Instagram followers than the Hornets organization. I wonder, does some of that weigh on Devontae Graham? Because that is a second round slash undrafted type of guy who made his way in the league and really was coming into his own last year. And then, damn, they drafted another guard on a team that's very guard heavy. I've talked about this before on the pod, but it's the Martin twins who are two guards. It's Terry Rozier, Devontae Graham, LaMelo Ball, Malik Monk. Like, it's just a lot of guards. And then you have Gordon Hayward, who's not a guard per se, but he is a ball handler and a wing. They probably need to move off some of those guys. And by some of those guys, I mean Malik Monk is probably on his way out. And one of the Martin twins, probably Caleb, because he's the worst of the two, is who ideally who they'd move. But Devontae Graham just hasn't had it, and I wonder, and I feel like some of that might be he's looking over his shoulder, and like, there's something to look at over his shoulder. This is a 6'7 kid who has elite vision and confidence to boot. Like, it's not a pretty jump shot, but he shoots it like he's Steph Curry. So it's a lot of Hornets talk, but like, that's the LaMelo Ball factor. You talk about wherever that kid is because he's that, he has that much magnetism, that he has the it factor. And one day we're going to define the it factor, because it's such a stupid thing to say he has the it factor. What does that mean? But somehow you know what it means. The next thing we're going to talk about is Tyrese Maxey with almost a 40 burger in his first start. Oh, that's the most points by a Sixers rookie in their first start since Lord knows. The last time a Sixers rookie went crazy like that, not in their first start, but just went crazy, was April 14th, Iverson, 40-burger. And I told y'all, when the lights get bright, Tyrese Maxey is gonna go nuts. Apeshit, if you will. It's normally national TV games, but like this had the feel. It was a Saturday matinee game. It's on NBA TV, which isn't national TV, but like when you look at the Sixers roster, you knew Maxey was gonna show his private area. Like, no Tobias Harris, no Ben Simmons, no Joel Embiid, no Matisse Thybulle. What? You knew Maxey was gonna act a full-blown fool, and he did not disappoint. But that actually leads me to a more serious note. The NBA is going to have to postpone the season or go back to a bubble soon. Like, the Sixers were missing 7 guys on Saturday versus the Nuggets. Right now, as I'm recording, Woj tweeted about 25 minutes ago that there would be no Heat versus Celtics tonight. Jason Tatum was already out with COVID protocol, and now there's just too many guys out. They're taking precautions, and they're just not going to play the game. We're going to get a season break, or we're probably going to wind up getting both of these things. We're going to get like a month postponement, and then when they come back, they're going to come back in multiple small bubbles, would be my guess, or one big bubble again, but my guess is maybe 2 or 3 small bubbles. Somebody much smarter than that is going to have to figure it out. Somebody much smarter than myself. But I think that's where we are headed. Like, this COVID stuff is no joke. I told you guys I had my bout with it. Like, wear your mask. Just do it so we can get back to seemingly normal life. It's just been... This is a really exciting basketball season, even with, like, the injuries and the COVID stuff. But eventually, like, we have to start putting people's lives ahead of entertainment. I can't believe I just said eventually. People's lives should always be ahead of entertainment. And right now, I'm not sure that's where the NBA is. They're looking at the dollar signs instead of vital signs. Put that on a t-shirt, too. That was fire. Vital signs over dollar signs. Ooh, Pod God does it again. Told you I had bars. But jokes aside, this is like a serious matter, and they're not going to be happy until it's a whole team and that team infects the rest of the league. So, man, those are my thoughts on missing games and COVID and the injuries. Oh, wait, one big thought on injuries. Man, they suck. I was really enjoying watching Thomas Bryant. He's just developed into a nice offensive center, and he was one of the bright spots on a nasty, nasty Wizards team. Like a nasty Wizards team that is wasting 60 balls from Brad Beal. And now he's out for the season with an ACL. Spencer Dinwiddie out with an ACL. We're losing guys, and like that's a part of sports, but it just sucks to see. I have a couple mailbag questions, and man, you guys killed it this week. Big shouts to the homie Adam Williams. He provided probably my two favorite questions of the week. The first one is, you can go back in time to see any player play. Who are your top 3? Easily, off rip, I gotta go see Prime Mike. And I don't think I want to see like Championship Mike, because like that's cool. Like winning Mike is cool, but I might need to see Force of Nature Mike, like 30 a game, and we don't know if this guy can win, but he's just gonna kill you every single night. This dude is a walking bucket. As a matter of fact, let me see him drop 63 on Bird and them boys in the old Boston Garden. That's the game I want to pull up to. Secondly, who's my second player? I think Wilt is a must. You got to see Wilt Chamberlain because just he was doing what? I need to see what he looked like in his prime from floor seats. I need to be there to get eyes on Wilt. And then I'm cheating for the third one. I thought long and hard about this, and I'm cheating on the third one. I'm not picking a player. I'm picking a game. Take me to the 1979 NCAA championship game. That's right. Magic, Bird, two birds, one stone, pun intended. This is one of the most star-studded NCAA championships. These dudes are credited with revitalizing the league. Not revitalizing the league, saving the league. Like, the league was going to die. And then, boom, Larry and Magic pull up to the scene and start pushing basketball to where it, towards where it is today. So those are my three. I need to see Prime Mike, like, 88, where he's not winning shit, but he's just a force. Or put me in the Boston Garden where Bird has to say afterwards, that wasn't Mike Jordan, that was God disguised as Michael Jordan. But I want to see Force of Nature Mike. I want to see Wilt, just because it's Wilt Chamberlain, and I need to know, was he way more athletic than these dudes? Was it just skill? Like, what was it that made Wilt put a- this dude averaged 50 for a season. And then after he averaged 50, he got tired of people saying, yeah, but all he does is score. So then he went out and led the league in assists. And I know he did that purposely, and stat hunting is something I generally find corny, but it just shows like the versatility that, nah, I could get 50, but if I really wanted somebody else to kill you, I could make that happen. I'm so much better than these guys that I'm really doing what I want. So I need to see that. And then Magic, Bird, an NCAA title game, like credited with pushing basketball towards where it is today, just count me in. The second one, this is also from Adam. Me and Adam have been talking a lot, so he's just been firing off questions. What does the Pod God listen to, podcast-wise? What pods does the Pod God listen to? All right, here we go. For when it's like, when it comes down to it, I listen to a lot of sports pods. But like, I also need some things that aren't sports. So I listen to the Puckle podcast, which is a Pokemon podcast. Comes out every Monday. It's really fun for me. It's a non-sports, non-hip-hop pod. It's just, yo, let me embrace my inner nerd. You're talking to a real-life Pokemon master. So that one hits for me. Not sports, but involving the culture and just generally fun. The Joe Budden podcast is my favorite. That comes out Wednesdays and Saturdays, and I'm locked into those. Other than that, it's like a lot of mainstream stuff. I listen to the Eye on College Basketball podcast with Matt Norlander and Gary Parrish. It's my favorite college basketball podcast. And then like I've cut back on a lot of the mainstream stuff and been listening to other guys who were like in my boat. Like I told you, I like the Launchpad by my boy KDOT. That's not a sports pod. It's a life pod, but I like listen to that heavy. I've been listening to the X's and O's podcast by my son, X Hunter. He did the Blazers podcast with me. You know I'm listening to the Playgrounder with my boys Matt and Zach. What else do I listen to? Like, I've always been a big Bill Simmons fan, and Bill Simmons said some like next level goofball shit during the start of the pandemic, and like it really didn't sit right with me. And like there are times I still do listen to Bill, but like I was a super fan and I was listening to his podcast and the Book of Basketball and anything else he was on, and I had to fall back from that. I listened to The Mismatch with Chris Vernon and what is that other, Kevin O'Connor. I like those, but sometimes I feel like I can't listen to all those. One, it's a lot of podcasts. Two, I want to be in that world, and like those guys aren't listening to me. So sometimes I feel like, so why am I listening to them? And then I get over myself. But most importantly, my favorite basketball podcast is the Zach Lowe podcast. I think that guy is the best sports journalist in the business, like from writing, podcasting, just his insight. Like, if I could have a beer with anybody and talk shop basketball-wise, anybody in the industry, it's probably him. So that's what I'm listening to. This question is so fun. All right, you're building a team, and this is where you start. You can start with Luka and Jokic, or Dirk and Manu. Who are you starting a team with? Once again, Adam Williams, you killed this one. I've been thinking about this joint for like 4 days. I'm going to make it a Twitter poll when this drops, and I still don't know my answer. And my part of the issue is I don't know what fully unleashed Super Saiyan Manu Ginobili is. Like, this is fully Super Saiyan Manu. I don't know. He's probably not Luka, because Luka has been historically good in his 2 years and change in the league. And Manu came in at 25 as a second rounder. But like, Pop never, I feel like we never saw the full Manu. For like the Dragon Ball Z fans, for the nerds with me, Manu never got to be complete Cell. Like, Pop always held him back. He never fully used all his powers. He never took off the turban if he was Piccolo and like stopped the weighted stuff. He was just, but like, also Manu Ginobili won gold versus Team USA as the best player on Argentina. There's not a lot of dudes who can say, yo, I put my dick on the table versus Team USA. But Manu Ginobili is one of those dudes. Like, yo, 2004, Iverson, Marbury, Young Melo, Young Wade, Young Brown, Lamar Odom, Tim Duncan, Larry Brown's the head coach. You guys know the story of Carmelo Anthony was so mad about his bronze medal, he threw that shit in a lake somewhere. Yeah, that's Manu Ginobili. The reason that there's a bronze medal in some random lake in some random place is because Manu Ginobili put his goddamn dick on the table versus Team USA and walked out of there with gold. So sometimes, like, that's just that. Like, the numbers are never going to be everything for Manu Ginobili. And like, you can't have a numbers argument with him because the most he averaged is 19 points. But like, if you were watching hoop, you know that like, we're talking about a killer. James Harden, perennial MVP. You know who his player comp is? You know who he spent a busload of time watching film on? Manu Ginobili. Because that dude was a murderer. So, all right, this question is still so tough. I'm always a best player available guy. Like, I think basketball, there's 10 players on the court. There's 5 on your team. If you have the best player on the court, that is a distinct advantage. It's just a distinct advantage having the best guy on the court. Dirk is the best guy until further notice. I don't care what Jokic and Doncic may do in the future. Until further notice, Dirk is the best dude on the court. And then, Jokic and Doncic, are they going to be fun to build around? But so were Dirk and Manu. I really should have probably sat down and thought about my answer, because I keep saying I don't know, and we're just on the pot, and I really have no idea where I'm leaning. I know which way I'm leaning, but I'm not confident either way. I think it's Manu and Dirk, and there's going to be somebody who tries to math me to death with, oh my God, I can't believe it. Manu's not even in the stratosphere of those guys. When you look at his advanced warp statistic metric from Star Trek, shut the fuck up. Watch the goddamn games. Like, Manu was a murderer, and I just don't think we got to see him the same thing I said about Tony Parker is, or the same thing that George said to me about Tony Parker is, yo, we just never saw him fully let loose. We only saw like glimpses of Manu fully let loose. And like, I'm sure y'all remember like roof gone George Jefferson Manu, but full hair, full head of hair Manu with the black hair and the long floppy shit, killer. So give me Manu and Dirk. I know I can build a championship team around Dirk. You know how I know we can do build a championship team around Dirk? Because it's been done. And sometimes that shit matters. I know Manu can be a high-level contributor. Actually, contributor doesn't give him enough credit. I know Manu can be an X-factor on a championship team. You know how I know that shit? Because he did that shit. And once again, dick on the table versus Team USA. There is a very short list of guys who can say, I beat Team USA as the man. And it's an even shorter list of dudes that can say, I beat Team USA so bad that they had to revamp USA basketball. Manu Ginobili is on that list. The reason we got the 2008 Redeem Team is because Manu Ginobili in Argentina took gold. You know why they needed to, you know why they were the Redeem Team? They needed to redeem themselves because Manu Ginobili. So there's my answer. Give me Dirk and Manu. I know they can win me a championship. I believe that Luka and Joker could, because like when you're that good, it's like sometimes comes down to circumstance. But belief and seeing are two different things. I've seen these two dudes be factors on championship teams. Dirk is a league MVP and a finals MVP, and he did it against LeBron James. So I know Dirk's body. I know his resume. And Manu Ginobili, he got two rings versus LeBron. Like, winning versus LeBron matters to me. Manu Ginobili, two-time All-Star, I believe. Like, that dude is a bad man, and I don't care what your math tries to tell me. All right. There was a tweet from Josh Ellsbury this week in regards to expansion. Who are the best two players if teams could only protect five players? First of all, I wrote an article on this on the Playgrounder where I picked five players from every team that they would protect and like gave some reasoning. I didn't write it completely alone, but it was my idea and I bit off more than I could chew and I got a lot of help from great people. When you're hearing this podcast, that article will be out. Please go check that out on theplaygrounder.com and comment on how fly the new website looks with its new sleek design. But the best players that I didn't protect are Russell Westbrook, DeMar DeRozan, Kevin Love, and Mike Conley. So those are the four that I didn't protect. Like, those are the four best players I believe would go unprotected. Once again, please read my article for my reasoning on them. Shout out to all the guys that gave input and wrote a little blurb on each team. And now, let's get into the Tony Parker documentary. I watched it this morning, and like, it was just fun. It's 138 minutes. There was stuff they could have cut out for me, particularly the last 30 minutes. I was cool. But the first 26 minutes had me captivated. My first thought is, I didn't know that Tony Parker was a MJ guy, but that makes sense given his age and him being overseas and how it was like hard to get it's not like League Pass was out. So like you got your videos. And like a lot of it was MJ because the one thing the NBA has always been good at is marketing its stars. Tony Parker is like, Tony Parker was born to wear number 9. Like, there's footage of young Tony Parker and he's in number 9. And when I mean young, I mean like 8, 9, 10 ish. Throughout the whole doc, I just don't remember seeing him wear any number that is not number 9. And it's like footage from when he's a kid in high school. There's a quick segment about him and the school he went to and like all the French killers that were there. And there's a clip of him and young Boris Diaw, and they're just being kids. Like, they look like high school, college kids, like just shooting the shit, having fun. There's a clip of young TP and Boris in practice. Then they're in a dorm playing Street Fighter on the world's smallest TV. Then they're in class, and it just, like, that friendship is really authentic, and it was super fly to see them at a young age. What else? This documentary showed me that I misinterpreted the Pop-Parker relationship. I just remember it'd be playoff games, and they'd say, oh, and Pop is really on Tony Parker, and he's ripping him to shreds. And then they always tell that story when Parker got the MVP. They always talk about how Greg Popovich was always on him. And that always led me to believe that, like, Pop hated young Tony Parker. And I don't know if that was me being young and not understanding certain things or the media's portrayal of the situation. But, like, that's not true, and that documentary does a very good job of showing it. Tony Parker does say that Pop used to cross the line, but he was like, hey, he's the coach, and, like, I'm built for this shit, is essentially what he said. But, like, how I knew it wasn't what they were doing, first of all, Popovich says, hey, I knew this kid was special from the second workout. Like, he sucked in the first workout, and after the second workout, I knew he was special. And one thing I've learned about coaches is Pop yelling at him and being hard on him was because he believed in him. He believed that, yo, this kid is good. He's special. And that's not some revisionist history, because Tony Parker was drafted 28th in 2001. Like, it's not often that the point guard and a late first round pick at point guard for a Hall of Fame coach and a team with championship aspirations is the starter. And Parker is the starter by mid-November. His rookie year, he starts 72 of the 77 games he plays in. So, yes, Pop was hard on him, but you don't hand the keys over to that guy if you don't think he's special. And I don't know if everybody missed this or just young me, but young me did not understand that that's what the relationship was. Also, what TP means to France is crazy. And, like, the best way I can explain it is when somebody from my hood makes it, the whole city wants to get behind them. Like, perfect example, when our boy Justin Robinson from Kingston was going nuts at Monmouth, when Monmouth knocked off UCLA, and was dogging stuff in the Maui Invitational, the whole city's watching. Like, it's on the Twitter timeline. It's on Facebook. Like, it's going crazy. We're all watching, and we're all rooting for somebody from our area. Now, I want you to multiply that, where instead of it being like, oh, he's from my block, he's from my hood, he's from my city. Nah, he's from my country. And, like, that's how France gives it up for Tony Parker. Like, he's the guy. And then it makes it even crazier that he wound up in San Antonio, because as they'll speak to in the documentary, there's not other stuff in San Antonio to compete with. Like, the Spurs are the end-all be-all because, as it's mentioned, there's no soccer, there's no football, there's not another NBA team. There's no baseball. So, like, it's Spurs, Spurs, Spurs. So they love their guys, and Tony Parker ingrained himself into that organization. So, like, he's the guy in France. And then he's one of the guys in San Antonio. And, like, I just think that those things worked for him. I'm not sure if it's true, but Tony Parker taking credit for coming up with the off 2-foot floater is one of my favorite moments in the doc. Like, he's just like, yeah, I made it up. That's me. I don't know who y'all thought that was, but that's me. Like, that's some fly shit. I was waiting all documentary for them to talk about how good his floater is and how him and Chip Inglewood decided, hey, we're going to change your jump shot to make it more similar to how you hold the ball on your floater. And they did not disappoint. And that was a really fly moment for me. I hope I didn't spoil too much of it, but I would definitely check this documentary out. It's on Netflix. It's called The Final Shot. It's on Netflix. Check it out. I really enjoyed it. And I guess there's... All right, I'll tell two quick stories. One was requested because Yosh, aka Jay Shaw, tweeted a video of Eric Bledsoe throwing the ball at Joel Embiid. And it's an old video, but he referenced me throwing the ball at some kid one time we were playing basketball. And I alluded to this last pod, or not last pod, but a couple pods ago, when I was saying that James Harden throwing the ball at Jayshon Tate is nothing. Like I said, yo, I played JUCO ball, and I've thrown the ball at people. Like, it just sort of happens. The story Yosh is talking about, this is going to sound wild, but, all right, we're hooping. There's some young kids there. Not young, but, like, it's last year, so I'm 30, and they're probably, like, 20, 21, and I'm slow. I've never been fast. Like, nobody has ever been like, damn, Rob, you move really quickly. I get caught on a switch with one of the kids. He's already been, like, a little whiny for me, and I like physical play. I love physical basketball. That is never my issue, and I like when people get physical back. What I don't like is if we're both playing physical, don't be a crybaby. Don't be a little bitch about it. And in this instance, I felt like that's what he was doing. I'm, like I said, he's a small, kind of quick guard. And I got him on the switch, and he's trying to beat me. And I'm definitely playing physical. But he's playing physical right back as an offensive player. And once you do that, you can't ask for the ball back. If we're both playing physical, if I'm playing like physical defense with my hands and my body, and you're like smacking me off or like lowering your shoulder to get in, when the ball goes out, you can have it back. Don't cry. And that's what he did. And like, he started bitching about something, and I'm yelling back, yo, quit bitching. You're getting the ball back, my nigga. But like, don't play physical and then cry about it when you don't get it. Like, just hoop, play through. I'm giving the foul, I'm giving the ball back, but like, you're bumping, you're throwing bows, don't do that shit. And we're arguing, and he says something, and somehow I get the ball, and I'm screaming and yelling, and I toss the ball to like throw it off the wall in anger. And the only explanation is that like the basketball gods knew he was on some sucker shit, because that shit hit him like a homing missile. Like, it just found his face and it drilled him. And once again, like, I've just been arguing and I'm mad and I feel so bad. I'm like, damn, I didn't mean to hit you, but also quit bitching. Like, I couldn't turn off the, look, I didn't mean to hit you, but also you're still being a bitch. So, like, it hit him in the face, and I felt bad because I thought I was going to ruin the runs. Like, these are, like, kind of closed games, and, like, that kind of stuff can really mess up that kind of scenario. But also, like, the basketball gods are the basketball gods. He was being a sucker, and, like, that's what happened. And, like I said, I felt bad, and I tried to apologize, but I also didn't want to come off my stance of, yo, if you don't want to play a physical game, go play tennis, go play golf. Basketball is a contact sport. So there's that story. That story probably makes me sound like I am a hack. And I might really be a hack, but I give fouls. Like, if I get you, I'm giving it back. But just know, like, I'm here to play. This is a physical game. You don't want to play a physical game? Go take up baseball, or maybe you should go shoot on the side baskets. Because if I'm out there, there's going to be bodies bumping. And I'm not a crier. Like, when I get fouled, I play through. If the defense wants to give it, that's fine. But I've never, ever, you can never accuse me of not giving fouls. Like, if I foul you, I give it. And you can never accuse me of, nah, I missed, I want it back. I'm not that hooper. And then, lastly, went on a job interview this week. Like, been on a couple. Oh, I want to say something that my mom wouldn't like want me to say because we had this discussion. But honestly, this my pod. She probably not listening. Man, fuck my old job. So anyway, I went on a job interview and I've been on Indeed. Like, I work for Indeed. And I got a call and this lady's like, hey, we want to do an interview with you this Thursday at 1:30. You'll meet with our hiring manager. Da-da-da-da-da. And I've lived on Indeed. So I've been just so many applications that, like, I don't know if I wasn't listening or I just didn't remember where she said it was for. And I don't even remember applying there. And then she tells me where it's for. And I'm like, cool, definitely. And I can't find where I applied for it in my Indeed resumes. But, like, I go, I pull up to the hotel where they're having it, and I'm like, okay, at a hotel. I've been to hotels for interviews before. I get there, and I'm, like, searching it up, and all I can find is, like, a little Reddit thread where, like, the guy's like, hey, what do you know about this company? Because I can't really find anything on him. And I'm like, damn, me neither. And then, like, somebody in the comments is like, I think it's a scam. Boom. Antennas are up. My radar... all right, let's see if this is funny style. So I get into the conference room with the dude, big Italian dude, probably about like 6'3", 260. Like, this is a big, hefty dude. He's already like off rip. I'm skeptical because I feel like he's trying to materially impress me. So he's in a... It might be an expensive suit, but it looks cheap. It doesn't look cheap. It looks tacky. It looks like he wants to be flashy when he doesn't need to be. And then he's got on a Louis Vuitton mask, and he's got on these bright green gator shoes that definitely aren't made of gator, and they're nasty looking. And he's got on, like, all this jewelry. Like, not a lot, but he's got, like, rings on a bunch of hands and a bracelet. And, like, my initial thought is, first of all, fam, you're not the first dude to wear gold-plated jewelry, so this ain't gonna get me. Your little Louis Vuitton mask definitely isn't gonna fool me. And if you don't take that pleather suit off, but I digress. Like, I'm about money, so I'm trying to see what this is about. And he's just saying all these keywords. We work with Verizon and Comcast. And what else is he talking about? Oh, and he's like, and we work with Go Green. And I don't know if you know, but by 2030, Governor Cuomo has passed a law that says X amount of energy needs to be green. And Go Green is the biggest provider of green energy in New York. And all that's well and dandy. But, like, we're now, like, 6 minutes into the interview, and I still don't know what the goddamn job is. And he's just talking, and he's like, but let me explain to you what we do, because I know the website is more geared towards our clients instead of potential employees. And I'm like, finally. And he's like, so, and then he says a bunch of words, and, like, he said mad stuff, but it didn't mean shit. Like, I have no idea what he said. Like, I was listening, I was attentive, but he didn't answer anything. And, like, at one point, he's like, so you think if you were in a room with, like, a bunch of people and we gave you the proper training, you could do this? And, like, I'm not an idiot. I think I can do anything with the proper training. I just don't know what it is. And I'm like, yeah, sure. But in my head, I'm like, do what? Like, am I selling something? And then he, like, doubles down on, like, trying to convince me of how great a job... well, the person we're hiring, we really want to fast track them. In your first 6 to 9 months, you'd start off just with like a couple clients. But after that, we'd like you to be the manager of an area like Poughkeepsie. And then in a year and a half, we'd like you to be the regional manager. And it all sounds really, really good, except I don't know what the fuck I'd be doing. And like, and then he's asking weird questions. He's like, yo, man, I always try and ask a question that's going to make you think on your feet. And for you, Rob, if you could be any animal, what would you be? First of all, it's a weird ass question. Didn't make me think on my feet because I have a giant lion tattooed on my left arm. So boom, a lion. I want to be the king of the jungle. I'm a natural born leader. And that's what I told him. I'm like, yo, I'm a leader. I'm a people person. I'm a lion and I'm not any lion, motherfucker. I'm Mufasa. I didn't say that verbatim. That probably would have been fly. That would have been me putting my dick on the table like I was Manu Ginobili. But like, I just don't. And I just walked out of there so confused. And I just called my mom and was like, Mom, I don't know what he said. Like, I don't know what that job is. And I fully expect him to call me back. Like, hey, you interested? And be like, I still don't know what the job is, dog. And take off all that gold-plated shit. You can't get through no goddamn metal detector. You ain't getting on no plane with all that goofy shit on. Cursed a lot, this podcast. But it was just me by myself. And there's not a lot of basketball news other than COVID ruining everything. So I just thought I'd let loose and have a little bit of fun. I hope you enjoyed the story of me pelting some kid in the face. For those that are wondering, he has not come back to those games ever again. So, guess I'm a dick. And I really don't know what that dude wanted me to do. Like, I might have just applied to be a drug dealer. He might be like, yo, if I got you into certain rooms, could you move a key? And my dumb ass was like, with the proper training, I can do anything. But this has been the Shaw's Law Podcast. 45 minutes of me monologuing. Wait. I lied. We're not done yet. Oh, after watching the Tony Parker documentary, it is clear that I owe the homie George an apology after what I said about Tony Parker. Like, I crushed him. And I still believe most of the stuff I said. Just, I do have more of an appreciation for him after watching the documentary. Do I think he was ever a top five player in the league? No. He probably was a top five point guard. And like, I'd be willing to give that. But winning matters. And that dude won, and he has a finals MVP and a couple all-stars, and I respect him, and after watching the documentary, I respect him that much more. So, George, this is your public apology for some of my Tony Parker slander. Now, once again, this has been the Shaw's Law Podcast. I'm your host, Rob Shaw. Thank you.